series on the basics and talking about the basics and how God's calling the church back to the basics. And if you don't establish the basics in your life, if you don't get the foundation set, everything else is going to crumble. And I'm just telling you, when trouble comes in your life, you have to have the basics established as a foundation. And worship is a basic foundation of our life. Worship is loving the Lord your God with all. That's worship. It's not a song we sing. It's worshiping the Lord with all. Worship isn't a song. Worship is loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, your mind, and the strength. And worship is the battle for your affection. Worship is the battle for your affection. Where are your affection? Who has your affection? What has your affection? And then we went into prayer, and we talked about prayer for the first week, and we talked about prayer is the battle for your attention. Worship is the battle for your affection. Prayer is the battle for your attention. Prayer is simply talking with God, not talking to God. And we get it confused in the church because we think prayer is just getting up every day and talking to God. But we need to just zip it and listen. Talking with God, it's a communication. It's intimacy. And prayer is the battle for your attention. And tonight I want to talk to you about the past, the present, and the future. It's not even a part of that series, but it's a part of it because it is basic, fundamental, foundational faith for you. And so I'm going to talk to you about the past, the present, and the future. Listen, if the church is not anointed, we're wasting our time. If there's no anointing in the church, we're wasting our time. If we're just going to put good sermons together and have good singing, and we're not going to let the anointing of the Holy Spirit move, we're just wasting our time. And there's so many people that are attending churches that are good churches, but the anointing isn't there. And I just want to call out to everybody, when you come to church, you need to come with an anointing, and you need to believe God for the anointing to be released in the house. Light, smoke, great worship, kids' church, that those are wonderful, but that's not going to change our lives. The anointing will change our lives. I don't believe in silent Christianity. I'm just telling you, I don't believe silent Christians will ever receive God's best. He said this, he said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Huh? Isaiah 58 said, cry aloud, spare not, lift your voice like a trumpet. If you begin to look in the New Testament, that church was bold. It was not a silent, weak, wimpy church. It was a bold church full of fiber. It was full of the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe you and I need to release the joy of the Lord to our city. In a few months, you know, we're in August already. Isn't it crazy this is August already? And we're moving so quickly towards the end of the year. And at the end of the year, there's always a celebration. There's always the celebration of coming in to a new year. You know, the ball will drop, and we'll all watch it on TV, and there'll be this big celebration and this big party, and everybody will come into a new year. But I'm really concerned that so many people don't even understand what it means to come into newness. Huh? They've been 10 years without experiencing a new year. You know, they get up, and they'll set all these things, you know. I'm going to, you know, make your New Year's resolution and all the things you're not going to do, and the gym is packed, and everybody's working out, trying to get the weight off, and this is going to be the year that I do all this stuff. And it's the way, and I think what it is that's the way we try to do Christianity. We're trying to walk out Christianity. Now, remember, I'm talking about the past, the present, and the future. But listen, there are two kinds of new. There are two kinds of new. If you have an old pickup truck out there, if you have an old F-150 truck out there, and I go to Tamiami Ford and I purchase you a brand new truck, and I bring that new truck to you, in your heart you tell everybody, I got a new truck. See, that's a new truck in time. But if I was to go to the Mercedes dealership and pick you up a brand new Mercedes, SL500 or whatever they are, the numbers are on them now, with 15 miles on it, and drove it to your house and gave you a new car, that new car would be, it'd be a new car in kind. I don't want to lose you. I don't want to get too crazy. But if you get a new car in time, this, in Christianity, what happens is when people come to faith in God and they give their lives to God, they want a new car. They want a new life in time. They want to bring God into their life. They want to ask Jesus to come into their life. And now there's this transformation going, okay, now I got God walking with me. But that's not Christianity. See, Christianity isn't bringing God into. See, that would be a new life in time. But God wants to give us a new life in kind. In other words, there's the scripture in 2 Corinthians that says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, and old things pass away, and all things become new. That's new in kind. You understand that in Christianity, we're trying to bring God in and partner with us, and we're gonna come in and pray, and then we want to go out and keep doing the same old thing and think God's riding along with us. And it doesn't work that way. There has to be a death, burial, and resurrection. There has to be a death to the old man, and there has to be newness of life, a new kind. I'm not walking in my old nature anymore. I'm not trying to work this thing out. I died to my flesh, and now I'm alive in Jesus Christ, and I've got a new kind of life. Huh? This isn't like, well, I got a new car and now I updated from an old to a new. And it isn't that way in the kingdom. In the kingdom, you and I have to die. We have to come to this place of death and we say, God, I give you my life. I lay my life down. In Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 19, he says, behold, I'll do a new thing and it shall spring forth and you'll know of it. He wasn't talking about new in time. He's talking about new in kind. He says, okay, everything is about to change now. And in Christianity, if you don't understand this as the basics of our faith, this is what salvation is. It's you come into a new kingdom. You leave the kingdom of this world and you step into a kingdom of life. He said, I'll even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. He said, I'm going to turn it all around. I'm not just going to update you with the latest model. I'm going to give you a brand new life. I'm going to create in you a new spirit. I'm going to take that heart of stone and I'm going to break it down and I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. In John chapter 3 and verse number 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born again when he's old? He's referring it to time. He's referring to time, and Jesus answered and said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say to you, you must be born again. You got to get a new kind. You have to have a new kind. It's like this old nature has to die. We're no longer fighting sin. Jesus defeated sin at the cross. We are now walking in the newness of life, and you and I are soldiers of the cross. Jesus can't be an add-on to our lives. Isaiah the prophet, about 600 years before Christ wrote this in Isaiah 61. Go with me in the Bible and look at it. Isaiah 61 and verse number 1. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, he's not talking of himself. He's prophetically speaking of one to come. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them what? Beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That these may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. This is the picture of salvation. This is the picture of what John spoke of when he was talking about Nicodemus coming to Jesus. This is the new life. He tells us, Isaiah is telling us about the empowerment of the Messiah's ministry. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. What is the Spirit of the Lord? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the same Spirit that was in Genesis, hovering over the water, waiting on the word to be spoken. And when God spoke the word, the Spirit activated it. He said, when the Messiah comes, the Spirit of the Lord God will be upon him. The Holy Spirit. Isaiah tells us what the Messiah will do. Here's what Isaiah prophetically speaks about the Messiah. And the Messiah announces, he is blessed and empowered by the Spirit of the Lord God. Jesus is the person described in Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. And he's the one that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon. If Jesus, the person described in Isaiah 61, 1 through 3, if that Jesus, if he's the Spirit and the Spirit of the Lord God is upon him, if Jesus needed the Spirit of the Lord God to come upon him in his perfect nature, in his perfect nature, both his deity and his humanity, both needed the Spirit of the living God to come upon him. How much more do you and I need the Spirit of the living God to come upon our lives? He said, because the Lord has anointed me. He was speaking prophetically to the Messiah, the anointed one. The word anoint means to rub or to sprinkle on or to apply lubricant. That's what anointing means, to rub on or to sprinkle on or to apply lubricant. Persons in the Old Testament, people in the Old Testament, they were often literally anointed with oil. For example, in Exodus 21 and verse 41, Aaron and his sons were anointed with oil for special service unto the Lord. David was anointed for service unto the Lord by Samuel pouring oil upon his head. The oil on the head was the outward representation of the real spiritual work that was going to go on inside of them. As Christians under a new covenant, we also have an anointing from the Holy One. It's in 1 John 2:20. He said, you have an anointing from the Holy One. You have the oil poured on you. You have the oil applied to you, and you have the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you. This is that new life. This is not the old life adding Jesus into it. This is when we die to our flesh and die to our desires and our wants, and we die to everything we think it should be like, and we start saying, God, I want what you want. I submit my will to your will. And we lay as Jesus did at the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, not my will, but thy will be done. This is the life that you and I are being called to. This is the basics of our faith. It's not calling God to come help us in a problem. It's realizing that he is with us in the fiery furnace. He is with us in the lion's den. He is with us wherever we go. It's not adding God into our life. It's knowing that when I walk in here, everything changes, because wherever I go, the blessing follows me. This is what salvation looks like. This is what it's supposed to be. Isaiah reveals the ministry of the anointing. He says it's to preach good tidings to the poor. This is the ministry of the Christian. It's to minister good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those that are bound. That's deliverance. The opening of the prison to those that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort those who mourn, to console them that mourn, who mourn in Zion. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is the good news of salvation. This is what salvation is all about. And then he deals with the past, the present, and the future to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Remember, I'm talking about the past, the present, and the future. This is so important that you understand this is what salvation does for our lives. It comes in and it deals with the past, the present, and the future. It sets us up to live in victory. It sets us up to live in the power that God gave his son for, that you and I would carry that anointing. Jesus has something for the past, the present, and the future. He says, I'll give you beauty for ashes. Ashes deals with our past. It deals with things that have been destroyed in our lives. It deals with things that have been absolutely annihilated in our lives. And the devil wants you to keep looking at your past to keep you from your future. He wants you to focus on the ashes and the rubble because you cannot rebuild ashes. You can't rebuild ashes. And that word beauty, if you look at it in the Old Testament, it talked about the headdressing. The beauty meant the headdressing of a woman who was being prepared for her groom. It talks about the beauty, that beauty of that purity. God says, I'm going to give you purity. I'm going to give you beauty. I'm going to sweep these ashes away. I'm not going to try to rebuild the ashes. I'm going to rebuild on the foundation of my love that is in your heart. And so many people are stuck in the past, and they're stuck in a place of ashes. And God said, hey, you just wipe them ashes away, and you let me build upon your life with my word, the foundation that you can build on. Psalm 113 and verse 7 said, he raises the poor out of the dust, and he lifts up the needy out of the ash heap. God says, I want to make it like it never happened. I'm going to get rid of all those ashes, and I'm going to make it like it never happened. I'm going to give you beauty for your ashes. Salvation deals with our past. He said, I'm going to give you the oil of joy. I'm going to give you the oil of joy for mourning. Oil for joy in the morning deals with our present. It deals with our present. It deals with what's going on in our lives right now. And so many people are stuck in their faith. They're stuck in their walk with God. They come to a certain place. They love God with all their hearts, but they're just stuck. And oil is a lubricant that will free up stuck places. He says, where you're at right now, I'm going to get you moving again. I'm going to get you out of that place of safety and say, trust me, walk out on the water. Stop living in your security of where you're at and believe me for greater things. Oil is a lubricant and it frees up stuck places. So many people are stuck in the oil. The Holy Spirit wants to give you the oil of joy. The oil of joy that you wake up every morning with joy in your heart, not dependent upon your circumstance. Not dependent on how your body feels. Not dependent upon your bank account. Not dependent upon your husband or your wife or your children. God says, I want to give you the oil of joy. I want to put the Holy Spirit over your life, and I want to give you the oil of joy for your mourning. Stop looking at your circumstances and mourning about what's not here anymore. You start looking to the Lord and start looking on what's coming. Come on. Salvation deals with our past. Salvation deals with our present. And then he said, I'm going to give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. If you begin to research and you begin to unpack that word heaviness, what you're going to find is heaviness deals with darkness. It literally means darkness. And so many people, man, are just stuck in a prison in their minds. They can't see their future. They've got darkness all around them, and all they see is the destruction because of their past and because of where they're at. And God says, I want to give you the garment of praise, because the praise deals with your future. If you have a praise in your spirit, you can get through anything. You hear me? No matter what comes into your life, no matter what trauma you go through, no matter what challenges you face, if you've got a praise in your spirit, you can get through anything. The present, the past, and your future. Your future. The spirit of heaviness means darkness. This is more than physical. This is more than physical. This affects every area of our lives. It deals mentally with darkness. You can't even imagine how many people have no dreams for the future. They've been crushed. The enemy has just beat them down and got them in a stuck place. And God says, I'm gonna give you the garment of praise for your future. I want you to realize, if you'll praise me in the darkness, I'll give you the light of the morning. Uncertainty. If you look at that word heaviness, it also means uncertainty. And so many people, because they're just uncertain. And we heard this morning, Mylon was just talking about having confidence that God is honest. and knowing the nature of the Father, that he's honest and he's not going to lie to you. And what he said in his word he will do, he will do. There are so many people stuck in the prison of their mind, and they can't look forward to the future. And God says, hey, I want to give you the garment of praise for your future. I want you to renew your mind. You begin to read in the book of Jude, Jude's one chapter. Just read that one chapter, and you'll see where Satan has legal rights to darkness. He has legal rights to darkness. That's why Jesus said, he said, he is the light of the world. Because if you get the light in, it drives the darkness out. If I'm driving down the road tonight, and last week, Whitney had called me and said, there's a car parked over in the road by the new property out there. We just bought the 40 acres on Immokalee Road, and she said, there's a car parked out there, and there's a man standing out there, and I don't know who he is, and I'm afraid to stop. I said, don't worry, Whit, I'll get in my car and drive out there. And I drove out there, and I drove all around the property. I couldn't find anybody. There was a car out there, so I kind of sat by the car for a few minutes. Another car pulled up. Guy got out of the car, got in the and left. You know, he had met some girl for a rendezvous out there somewhere down that road, and came driving down that road and got in the other car and left. But when I went to go over there to check it, you know, if that guy would have been standing out in the road waving his arms, I probably would have went around him. Huh? Because you don't know nowadays, you know. You don't know what's going on. And I'm like, I wouldn't stop for anybody. But if that guy was out there in the middle of the road and he had an officer's uniform on, and he had a little badge on his shoulder, and I could just see that it was a police officer, and he was waving his arms, I'd pull my car over and I'd stop. Why? Because of a garment. Just because of that garment, I'd pull over, I'd slow down and just kind of see what does he need or whatever. I'm just telling you, if you'll get the garment of praise on, if you just realize if you've got the garment of praise on, your Heavenly Father will acknowledge who you are, and he will come to you and he'll present to you your future. Because I got something for you. Your future is bright. Your future is not dark. Your future is bright. And the Lord says, I'm going to give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and I'm going to bring you into a transitional time. You're not going to live in your past, and you're not going to be stuck in your present. You're about to move into your future. If you believe that, give the Lord a praise. You've come out of your past, and I'm just telling you, God's moving us. God's moving us, and he's doing something in our lives. Amen. Miss Gail, if you'd come to the keyboard. The garment of praise will unlock your future. Salvation deals with our future. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Everybody stand up on your feet with me, please. I want you to just lift your hands to the Lord right now. Just declare over him, God, I have a ministry. I have a calling. Come on, just lift your hands and say to the Lord, I have a ministry. I have a calling. I'm not stuck in my past. I'm not stuck in my now. I'm moving to my future. Can I just say this over your life? Listen, the only reason the devil is fighting you is because of your future. The only reason that you are being attacked is because of your future. Because you have a future. And you have a hope in Christ. And your salvation is more than just Jesus walking with you. It's more than him tagging along on your assignment. It is absolutely you dying to yourself and you opening your life to Christ Jesus and say, God, it is not I that live, but you live in me. I am crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I thank you, God, that you speak to our past. You oil us up for our now, God, but you're moving us into our future. And God, the path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter. And God, we give you the glory for it. We thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's worship the Lord just for a minute.